You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves site on the Fansided Network. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Happy Election Day. If you're listening to this on Tuesday, hopefully you went out and voted. If you have not, do it before the polls close. If you're listening to this on Wednesday, we may or may not know who won the election. So be sure you get out and vote if you can still do so. Today, I want to talk all things draft once again, of course. I'll start by addressing the Karl-Anthony Towns, the very emotional video that Karl-Anthony Towns published across his social media channels on Monday afternoon, and then some draft notes that are out there, and then another fake trade article, this time from my friends over at Fansided. So not a Bleacher Report article this time, but Fansided, couple that we've kind of tangentially talked about, and actually a new team that somehow there's still these teams that haven't been written about as potential teams that could be targeting the number one pick, that could be trade partners for the Timberwolves. So cover that in today's show. I don't believe we'll do any big board ranking today. Save that for tomorrow on Wednesday's show. We're through number 7 on my big board 3.0. And again, my goal is to get through about 20 and then target some guys that'll be potential selections around 33. We've still got a little over 2 weeks here to knock out the rest of Big Board 3.0 before the draft happens on the 18th. All right, before we get started today, a quick reminder to please subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you prefer to get your podcasts. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. All right. So if you haven't seen the Karl-Anthony Towns video yet, it is a tearjerker. He released a video across his social media channels on Monday. I believe it was in the afternoon. Basically a 15-minute long produced video. He had somebody interviewing him. There were a few Towns highlights from last year at the beginning of it. And it was just him being really open and honest about his mother's death back in April, tragically from complications of COVID-19. She was in a medically induced coma for quite some time, and things just kept getting worse. And it's just a heartbreaking story. We already knew it was heartbreaking, but to hear it directly from Towns, from her son, is really tough, but I think important. And, kudos to Towns for doing this. He's doing it clearly for the right reasons. He talks in the video about how therapeutic it is for him to do this and to talk about it publicly. Remember, he hasn't said anything since his mother passed away publicly. The only time he's been seen in the media is when he supported the Black Lives Matter rally in the Twin Cities following George Floyd's death at the end of May. The rally, I think, at the beginning part of June, he was at with Josh Okogie, and he was just kind of a silent presence there. He joined his teammates for some pre-bubble workouts and was seen, I think there was a Get Out the Vote campaign that the Timberwolves were involved in that Towns was present at in the Twin Cities. That was after he took his trip to Mexico with his new girlfriend that happened during the bubble for his birthday. And that was just kind of an escape, obviously something the Wolves knew was happening. And Towns didn't speak publicly about any of that. He didn't speak publicly when people were saying that he wanted out of Minnesota, really kind of almost in some way, not slanderous, but, two, three steps removed from Towns, and he's remained silent this whole time. And I think it says a lot for Towns' character that he has done what he needed to do for himself, for his own mental health, for his family. He's taking care. He talks in the video about talking to his sister, about talking to his mother's sisters, about talking to his grandma, his mom's mother, about her daughter passing away and how emotional and difficult that was. And it speaks a lot to Towns as a person. And he talked about trying to be a protector for his family. And you feel obviously for that whole family, for him and for Carl's dad. But it's just if you haven't watched the video, it gives you a real insight into Towns' mindset, his thought process, and how tough he is as an individual. And I think too easily labels like soft get thrown around. And I want to be clear, that's a label that many people have attached to his on-court game, which I also think is pretty ridiculous. But as a human, as a person, Towns really appears to be a genuinely good dude, and he cares about his family, and he's done what he feels he needs to do for them and stepping up in a really difficult time. And if you can bring yourself to watch it. I do think it's important, and you'll learn a lot from Towns by doing so. I commend him for doing that. And it gives us a little bit of a window. There's also a clip at the end of it of Towns and family members, along with Ryan Saunders and Gerson Rosas, releasing balloons for his mom, all wearing Towns. I believe they were Minnesota Timberwolves number 32 jerseys with her name on the back, and I think an infinity sign in place of the number on the back of the jersey. So a really cool moment that it sounds like Towns worked on with the Timberwolves to acknowledge his mom and to recognize her and to send her off in a way. So if you haven't seen the video, I'd encourage you to watch it, but be aware that it is a tearjerker, to be sure. All right, next what I'd like to do is talk about the NBA draft, talk about some of the, new news that's come out about the draft, some different notes from Jeremy Wu over at Sports Illustrated, and then into a FanSided article about five potential trades for the Timberwolves regarding the number one pick. Three are ones that we've talked about a little bit that I do not think are going to go down, and I do not think should go down. And then there's a couple that are interesting that I'd like to discuss, a couple of teams that the Wolves could trade back with in this year's draft. So we're going to do that coming up next year. But first, let's talk about our friends at Built Go. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market, but it's not just a workout gel. It's also going to help you break through your wall. We're all busy, I'm sure, between school, work, picking up kids, family time, workouts, meetings for work, whatever it might be. You need to pick me up. And Built Go is like a 5-hour energy without the same crash feeling. It's natural, so it's better for the body. It's like drinking a monster drink with only a third the caffeine and better results. If it's a mental or physical wall, you can break through it with Go every single day. They're just 1.5-ounce packages. Throw it in your pocket, your backpack, your briefcase, whatever. It comes in three delicious flavors: peanut butter, honey, chocolate coconut, chocolate mint. Built Go combines energy gel with collagen protein. And collagen protein, if you're not familiar, is fast absorbing. So it gets in your system fast and it's easy on the stomach. It's also loaded with beta-alanine, vitamin B3, honey, and a kick of caffeine. Visit BuiltGo.com, use promo code LOCKED. You'll get 20% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED for 20% off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go. All right, let's talk about some additional draft notes. First, a quick article written by Jeremy Wu over at SportsIllustrated.com. He's their draft, analyst. And he talks a little bit about all the teams at the top of the draft who potentially are looking to trade down, including Minnesota and Golden State. Doesn't really say much off the top that we don't already know that both teams would like to trade down, and it's going to be really hard to do that because so many teams in this draft do want to trade down, not just those two. They also talk about, or Wu also talks about, how the Charlotte Hornets at number three want to get a big, and they're not sure that James Wiseman will get to three because of all the steam around Golden State really liking James Wiseman. So a couple possibilities are they trade back and take Onyeka Okongwu. They stand pat and make sure that they can get Okongwu, the big man from USC, or they could trade up, presumably to the Timberwolves pick at one, to get Wiseman in front of Golden State. And in that scenario, I would think Golden State either trades back or takes Anthony Edwards, in which case, if the Wolves trade back to three, say they like LaMelo Ball, they could probably still get him at three. And so if Ball's the guy, the Wolves would almost certainly trade back with Charlotte. At the very least, then you have to pay Ball less money at the number three draft slot than you would at number one. And it's not nothing. It's a few million dollars. Plus, they would get some sort of asset for trading back. And I want to get back to Charlotte in a little bit. That's one of the trades, spoiler alert, that I want to talk about later, because I really think Charlotte's an intriguing trade partner. The more I've looked at their roster, the more I think something could get worked out. There's some talk about Patrick Williams rising in the draft, which I have him number 7 on my big board and talked about him extensively yesterday. And I actually said yesterday that I think that Patrick Williams is going to be a fast riser in this year's draft. And then some additional notes about the Bulls at 4, Cavs at 5, Hawks at 6, and Suns at 10, also as teams that want to trade back, which is going to be difficult to do and will be surprising. And at least the Bulls and Hawks at 4 and 6, respectively, we've talked about them as potential trade partners for the Wolves, with those teams hopefully trying to move up. Also, Minneapolis native Tyrell Terry, who played at Stanford, he's got him going in the mid to late teens. For a while, he was being mocked really kind of right around the end of the first, start of the second round, but he's grown and he's gotten stronger over the past few months, and so there's a good chance he gets drafted earlier rather than later. So those are interesting notes, I think, from Jeremy Wu. Now I want to kind of transition right into this article over at Fansided by Gerald Bourgeois. I hope I'm saying his name right. Gerald's written for Fansided for a while, and this is actually on the Step Back over at Fansided, which is the NBA vertical at Fansided. And he has an article entitled Five Teams That Should Trade for the Timberwolves' Number One Pick. And again, I said this earlier, there's three of these trades that I do not think should happen, that I don't think make sense for the Wolves. But then there's two that I think are interesting. So I'll start with the ones that I don't love. One is listed as number five on his list. That's with the Indiana Pacers. We've talked pretty extensively here at Lockdown Wolves about the potential for the Wolves getting Victor Oladipo from the Pacers. Remember, Oladipo just came back from injury this year and did not look good on either end of the floor, really, and has a year before he's going to hit free agency. So undoubtedly, he's going to want to show that he's worth something on the open market next summer. Remember, he just made a couple of all-star teams, most improved player a couple of years ago. And there's a lot to be said for him. He needs to have a good year. Now, the Pacers also probably don't want to sell low on him either. And the Pacers were a good team last year. So it makes, I think, more sense for them to hang on to him and hope that they, for both of their sakes, that he rounds himself into shape, that he bounces back, and that the Pacers are a good team and either keep him and maybe extend him or kind of rehab his trade value and then flip him at some point prior to the trade deadline this year to maybe a contender that's looking for some depth. I've also talked before about how I don't love the Oladipo fit in Minnesota. I know on its face, he's a wing defender who's big and athletic and can shoot threes a little bit. About him, I don't love the fit in Minnesota. Even though those things are all true, Oladipo's career hasn't shown that he would be comfortable being a third wheel, behind a Karl-Anthony Towns and D'Angelo Russell. He's a far less efficient scorer than either one of those guys. Earlier in Oladipo's career in both Orlando and Oklahoma City, he wasn't all that great of a player. He was considered maybe not quite a bust, but a disappointment early on, and certainly when he was traded from Orlando to Oklahoma City. And a lot of that was because he wasn't the primary option in those places. He was in Indiana, has been, and he's been really, really good for the Pacers. He come to Minnesota, and he's not as good of an offensive talent as either Towns or Russell. He isn't as good of a shooter as either of those guys. If you make him the third wheel, is he still an effective player, or are you simply asking him to do something that he's not best cast to do, would be my concern. So the trade anyways that Bourgeois has is the Wolves just getting Oladipo and sending the first pick and then James Johnson to match salaries to the Pacers. I don't like this deal from a fit perspective. I don't like it from a risk perspective, and I don't even think the Pacers would do it. So that one's a no for me. The second one listed, I don't hate the idea of trading with the Chicago Bulls. This is listed as number four, but the second one he lists in his slideshow at the Step Back. I've talked in the past about the Wolves potentially trading with the Bulls, and I think there's a trade to be had there, but I don't like the one that Gerald put together. The trade he's got is the Wolves sending the first and 17th pick in this year's draft and Jarrett Culver and then James Johnson to match salaries to the Bulls and getting back Zach LaVine and Lauri Markkanen. Now, I think Zach LaVine and Lauri Markkanen would both be really good players for the Timberwolves. I think they're both good players. I think they both would be starters on the Wolves, and then you're looking at a lineup of Russell, LaVine, Markkanen, Towns, and probably Josh Okogie or Jalen Noel or somebody starting, Jake Lehman starting on the wing. But taking on the contract of LaVine and the upcoming need to extend Lauri Markkanen from his rookie deal, he's obviously not going to get a max, but he's going to want a significant contract. I mean, you're moving off of Johnson's money, and then Culver, who has an expensive deal, is the number six pick in last year's draft. In fact, after Towns and Russell, with Johnson off the books, Culver would be the third most expensive player on the Timberwolves in terms of annual salary. But I don't know that Lauri Markkanen is going to be worth what he is going to get, what he's going to be asking for. And, similar to what the Wolves did last year when they traded Dario Saric, they didn't want to pay him this year in restricted free agency, so they moved off of him to move up five picks in the draft. Do the Wolves want to be the team that has to pay Lauri Markkanen next summer or next offseason, whenever that happens? Plus, Zach LaVine, I think, is good. I've talked about him before on the show. I actually think he's a great fit for the Wolves. But at his price, it makes more sense to bring Malik Beasley back at a lower price. Now, we don't know how Beasley's legal situation will play out. But if I were going to do this trade with the Bulls, I would do it if the Wolves also got back the number four pick. If they sent 117 Culver and Johnson, got back LaVine, Markkanen, and number four. Now, the Bulls probably don't do that unless they love a guy at number one, unless they want to move on from LaVine and get Ball or Edwards to pair with Wendell Carter Jr. and some of their other young pieces. But if you're Minnesota and you get back number four, you can take a Maybe it's Obi Toppin, probably at number four. That's who they would take. Maybe it's a Killian Hayes. Maybe it's one of these wings. Maybe it's Patrick Williams and Onyeka Okongwu. If somehow they feel like he makes sense as a third big with Townsend Markkanen, you know, if you can get one of those guys plus Levine and Markkanen, you know, I think that's probably worth it for the Wolves, but you don't do it without the number four pick. And I don't think that they would. All right. The last trade listed that I wouldn't do is actually ranked number one on the list for Gerald Bourgeois over at the fan-sided step back. So I'm going to skip the next two on his list and we'll get back to them next segment. His number one ranked trade is with the New York Knicks. And I've talked about the Knicks as just an awful trade partner at length. I think if the Wolves were going to trade with the Knicks, they would need a third trade partner in order to make this happen. But anyways, here's the trade he suggests. He has the Wolves getting the number eight pick from the Knicks, Frank Ntilikina, Reggie Bullock, and a future first rounder in exchange for the number one pick. He doesn't specify if that future first rounder is going to be the Knicks' own or the Mavericks. Obviously, the Wolves would want the Knicks' pick. The Knicks would want to send the Mavs' pick. I just don't think Ntilikina adds anything. He becomes your de facto backup point guard, but he hasn't been good to this point, and the upside at this point is somewhat questionable. Bullock, kind of the same thing. I mean, he's an effective NBA rotation player, but he's not really a starter on a playoff team, and I just don't think it makes a ton of sense. And then a future first, I guess, if it's the Knicks. So you're basically trading it for the eight and a future first. I think you just do that without the other players. I don't think the Wolves want to take on the salaries of Ntilikina and Bullock. I think you just take the eight and the future first. If it's a Knicks future first, you know, you consider that. I think they need more than one future pick to slide all the way back to eight. It'd be one thing if they were trading back to three or four with the Hornets or Bulls. But to move from one to eight, they're going to need more than that. And I don't think Ntilikina and Bullock are assets. I don't think that that does anything for the Wolves. He's also got a version of this trade that has the Wolves getting Kevin Knox back, as well as the number 27 pick from the Knicks and sending James Johnson. I think that's a more palatable option than the first one, although he also doesn't have the Wolves getting that future first. And I think you'd rather have the future first than two picks, two additional picks in this year's draft. You know, Kevin Knox is a far more attractive asset than Ntilikina or Bullock, but I still don't think this trade makes sense for the Wolves. And I don't think Gerson Rosas would make that deal. All right. I want to wrap up by talking about two trade partners that I actually think are somewhat realistic for the number one pick. And that is coming up next. All right. The final two trades listed by Gerald Bourgeois of the Step Back over at Fansided on his five teams that should trade for the Wolves' number one pick. One is the Charlotte Hornets. We talked about them, I think, last week on one of the shows, the possibility of the Wolves getting the three in an asset from the Hornets. The idea was first kind of put out there by Kevin O'Connor at The Ringer in his most recent mock draft that was updated about a week ago. He had the Wolves getting a future unprotected first from Charlotte. It was either next year or the year after. And that would certainly be a great asset. I don't know that Charlotte would be too excited to give up an unprotected pick next year or even 2 years from now to the Wolves. So I think a more realistic trade would be getting one of their young players back. Now, I don't think that the Charlotte Hornets are going to send the Wolves, you know, they're not going to send Devontae Graham. But there are other players on the Charlotte roster that could interest the Timberwolves. So the player mentioned here in Gerald's article is Miles Bridges coming back to the Timberwolves. And he actually has a second version of this that includes a future first-round pick. But I mean, Miles Bridges is okay and would kind of fit the Timberwolves. I don't think that he's the best player the Wolves could get from Charlotte. Instead, why not PJ Washington? I think PJ Washington would actually be the perfect player to get back. He was a first-round pick in last year's draft and would fit the Wolves perfectly, assuming that Devontae Graham's not available. I mean, he's a point guard anyways, so maybe he's not where the ask starts. But a player like PJ Washington would fit with what the Wolves are trying to do. Malik Monk's not appealing to me. Miles Bridges is not really all that appealing to me. And I mean, a lot of the other guys aren't going to be enough to kind of tip the scales. So for me, I'm asking for PJ Washington if I'm the Timberwolves. And if you can get back either a future first or PJ Washington and the number three pick in this year's draft, if they really like LaMelo Ball, they could still take him. They could go any other direction at number three. They could trade back again. If they stood pat, I think Obi Toppin is kind of emerging as somebody who the Wolves reportedly really like and would be a fit. And I've had him in the top five or six on my board since, actually top four, I think, on my board since the first version. So I really like that trade back opportunity with Charlotte. I think there's a lot of things that could come of that. It's certainly one to keep an eye on, and it's becoming more talked about, the idea that Charlotte might try and leap ahead of Golden State. The last team mentioned by Gerald Bourgeois is the Detroit Pistons. We have not talked at all about them as a potential to trade up, simply because, I mean, what's on their roster that the Wolves would be interested in? Well, the proposed trade here from Gerald is the number 7 pick that the Pistons possess, Luke Kennard, and a future first-round pick to the Timberwolves, the Wolves sending to the Pistons the number 1 pick and the number 33 pick. And, I mean, you're moving down 6 spots. You're likely still in a spot to take one of, you know, if it's Toppin, if it's Okongwu, if it's one of the, there's plenty of 3-and-D wings, Devin Vassell, maybe Patrick Williams there, maybe a guy like Killian Hayes, who obviously I really like, it would still be on the board. And you're getting back Luke Kennard, who is a really good shooter. You're going to have to pay him or let him walk at the end of this year. And so that's kind of the one thing, would be challenging for the Timberwolves, but to get back the 7 and get back a guy who would start at the 2 potentially, or, you know, come off the bench if Malik Beasley's still with the team, but Kennard would be a rotation player for the Wolves from day one. He's not great defensively, but he's okay. He's at least better than, I think he's a little bit of a better defender than Malik Beasley at this stage. And if you're also getting a future first rounder, I don't know that the Pistons do this deal unless they're worried about paying Luke Kennard next offseason. Then, and if they really like a player at 1 and they want some excitement for a basketball city that hasn't had much excitement at all in years, would they make a splash like this to land the number 1 pick and take, you know, I don't know who they would pick. There's not enough on their roster that they could just. They don't need to be picky. It's just whoever the best player on their board is, whether it's Edwards, Ball, or even Wiseman. And the Pistons would also get the 33. So if I'm the Wolves, then I mean this trade actually is kind of attractive to get back to 7. You might even be able to get it done without the 33. Maybe the Pistons ask for the 17 and the 33 is where you land. So at any rate, I think the Pistons are an intriguing trade partner that we haven't really talked about much here on the show. So keep them in mind. And I don't know how much steam there has been, if any, about the Pistons really being interested in the number 1 pick or falling in love with any of the players near the top. I will note they weren't on the list of teams looking to trade back that Jeremy Wu from Sports Illustrated had that I mentioned earlier in the show. So maybe that's a good sign for the Wolves as they try and position themselves in this year's draft. So the Pistons and Hornets right now are two teams that I think the Wolves could swing an attractive deal with involving the number 1 pick. And they're two teams to keep an eye on here moving forward. All right, on Wednesday's show, I want to get back into the Big Board 3.0, probably knock out a couple of prospects on 3.0. We'll talk about number 8 and number 9. Of course, if you're not familiar, this is a daily show Monday through Friday, so we will be back Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of this week talking Timberwolves and talking draft. That's all we have for you on today's show. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, of course, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. And also, if you do follow us on Apple and iTunes, please help us out with a review on there. It definitely helps us get in front of more folks, more eyes and ears. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.